The text for the preaching this afternoon comes from Mark chapter 10. Mark 10 from verse 13 to verse 16. Mark 10 from verse 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. We now listen to the preaching of the gospel, and afterwards we'll sing together Psalm 103, stanzas 5 and 6. Psalm 103, 5 and 6, after the preaching of the gospel. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, when our children are still very little, when it often seems as if mum has got no time for anything except feeding the baby, changing diapers, and doing whatever else the baby needs, and also during those nights, when it often seems as if mum has only just finished feeding the baby and putting it back to bed, before the baby is crying again and demanding another feed. In all that busyness, sometimes it seems as if time goes very slowly and our babies stay small forever, even more so when we also have other children who need our attention. And then sometimes parents might wish that our children would grow up a little bit faster, so that our children could dress themselves, feed themselves, and amuse themselves with a toy or a book. For mum, it can be a relief when children go to school and become a little bit independent. But years later, when our children are teenagers, especially when they go to college or work or university, even more, when our children move out of the house, get married, and have their own children, then parents look back and they say to themselves, "Where have all the years gone? It's all gone so fast." When our children are little, time often seems to drag on, and we look forward eagerly to the future when our children will be more independent. But when that time comes, we often feel that we have lost something very quickly. And now our text for this afternoon is kind of a reminder of the time when we were all little babies ourselves. Indeed, our text is kind of a reminder of the time when we were little ourselves. But even more, our text speaks to adults. Our text speaks to teenagers. And our text speaks to little children. In fact, our text even speaks to children who are so little that they cannot even sit still in church. To every one of us, God says this afternoon, "Did you see little Piper Adele this afternoon with her fragile little hands and fingers and little toes? Did you see how she just lay there? I tell you the truth," says Jesus in our text. "I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like Piper will never enter the kingdom of God." That means parents, grandparents, old people and young people, Christians and unbelievers, we all need to change. we all need to become like Piper, like this little baby girl, before we can receive the kingdom of God. So I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: the Lord Jesus Christ receives children and those who are like children into his kingdom. We pay attention to 2 points. The Lord calls children to come to him. The Lord receives children in his arms. The Lord Jesus Christ receives children and those who are like children into his kingdom. We see first how the Lord calls children to come to him. Some people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, Mark tells us. Luke in his gospel calls those children babies. That means they were little children, no more than 2 years old. Nobody says that it was parents who brought these children to Jesus. And nobody says that they were Israelite parents with Israelite children either. Instead, the message of our text applies to all children, those from Christian families and those from a non-Christian background, baptized or unbaptized. The same rule applies to them all. Let them all come to Jesus. Do not hinder any of them. And of course, we might say the idea of these people that Jesus should touch the children. It sounds strange, almost superstitious. What good is it going to do if Jesus touches a baby? Do they expect some kind of magic, some kind of spiritual power to come from Jesus to affect those children? Who knows what they want? Who knows why they want it? What they want is not the point. And Jesus does not comment on them either. But Jesus is indignant because Peter and James and John want to stop those people and send the children away. That is the issue. Jesus says, let the children come to me. Now, when we read the Gospel of Mark, we also understand why the disciples are sending those children away. You see, our text follows immediately upon a delicate and sensitive conversation. In Mark 10, in verse 2, some Pharisees came to Jesus to test Jesus by asking Jesus a question. And if Jesus would fail this test, if Jesus would give the wrong answer, would that matter? What difference would that make? Now, some of you, some of the older people, might remember Prince Charles and Lady Diana. Some of you might remember when they got divorced. And at that time, every church leader was interviewed and asked for his opinion on divorce. And whatever anybody had to say about divorce was understood as a comment about Prince Charles and Lady Di in particular. All those discussions pretended to be about the ethics of divorce in general. But really, they were all about Prince Charles and Lady Di. And in the same way, in our text, Jesus is in the region of Judea, near the Jordan. In this region, Herod is king. And everybody knows, yes, everybody knows, King Herod has got a brother, Philip, who was married to a woman, Herodias. But King Herod wanted to marry Herodias himself. So what did King Herod do? He took his brother's wife, he took Herodias, and he married her. And then John the Baptist, he dared to criticize King Herod. So John the Baptist was arrested and put to death. If we understand this, it makes sense that Jesus should be tested on the issue of divorce. Whatever Jesus might say about divorce will be understood as commentary on King Herod. If Jesus dares to criticize the king, he can expect trouble. what a test this is. Now, a wrong answer can cost Jesus his life. And very quickly, after the public discussion happened, the Lord and his disciples have gone back to the house, and there the discussion continues privately. That's why when some people come to the house with their children to have Jesus touch those children, the disciples say, "No, go away. The Lord is too busy with some very important matters. The Lord has got no time for little children. Go away." And so often we do the same thing, brothers and sisters. Oh, we might not be so crude that we send our children away. Instead, we give our children toys and we encourage them to go play in the basement. Go play nicely. And so the adults are often in one room with our conversations, talking about stuff that our children need to learn about, while our children are somewhere else being educated by each other. And then it is interesting, brothers and sisters, it's interesting. When our children are young, we are happy if our children do not bother us. We are happy if our children can play alone. When they are little, we teach them that we prefer it when they do not interfere with us. But then our children get older, and then we want to talk to them about lifestyle issues, about relationships, about the dangers of the world. And then we are disappointed because our children have learned their lesson too well. Our children don't want to talk to us. Again, we are not as crude as the disciples. We don't send our children away, but we do train them to stay out of our adult conversations. And in the process, often, we do not involve them enough in our lives with God. And so the Lord says, "Let the children come to me." The Lord says, even in the middle of a serious discussion, "I have got time. Indeed, I will make time for little children." And of course, there are times when Mum is busy cooking dinner. There are times when urgent matters need attention, and then there is no time to talk to the children. But so often, as adults, we talk to our children about God at the wrong time. After our meal, we do devotions, and then we want to talk to our children about God. And then some days, our children are interested, but more often than not, they have had enough of sitting still and they want to go play. And so, let me ask you, beloved congregation, let me ask you to think about when you have had the best conversations with your children about God's will, about God's word. When did you have the best conversation with your children? Surely that happens when you least expect it. Surely that happens after the cat dies, or when a child is busy playing with her doll. Then out of the blue, they ask a question which naturally leads to a meaningful conversation. We can always say, "Wrong time," and stick to our busy schedule. We can always be busy with what we think is important. But make no mistake, when Mark wrote his gospel, Mark went out of his way to emphasize the enormous contrast. Adults, they have their minds filled with important issues, and little children just want to be touched And then it seems reasonable for adults to say, go away, children, not now. But Jesus says, it is always the right time to bring your children to me. And we bring our children to Jesus through baptism, and also by reading our Bibles to our children, and also by teaching our children to pray, and also by talking to our children about Christian life. Leading our children to Jesus means teaching them about the gospel of salvation. And even when we do lead our children to Jesus, we can still hinder them at the same time. For example, when we sit at the supper table, when we criticize the consistory, or when we complain about the church budget, or we have to make comments about the sermons, then of course, our children will grow up with a negative attitude towards the church and towards God. Or otherwise, maybe we sit in church and a family in front of us has got a young child who is still learning slowly to sit still. For those parents bringing little children to church, it would be much easier to send their children to the nursery. But let's say these parents make the effort and it turns out rough. Then if we encourage those parents to persevere, if we confirm to those parents that their children belong with us in our worship services, then we are obeying our text. But if instead we express our annoyance because we were disturbed during the sermon, then we are hindering those children and those parents as well. Because in the worship service, our children are led to Jesus, are they not? The worship service is the workshop of the Holy Spirit also for our children, is it not? So, if we hinder the parents who want to bring their children to church, then we also hinder those children from coming to Jesus. And now finally, there is one other way that we can hinder our children. When our children are baptized, we often sing Psalm 105. He will remember and uphold his covenant made in days of old. That's Psalm 105. But maybe you noticed, in fact, I'm sure you noticed, after Psalm 105 comes Psalm 106. And Psalm 106 is about Israelite parents who brought up their children in the ways of the world. Psalm 105, the Psalm of the Covenant. Psalm 106, the next psalm, about parents who bring up their children in the ways of the world. So those parents, they worshipped idols. And some of those parents actually put their children on the altar and sacrificed their children to Moloch. And of course, we love our children. We would never put them on an altar. We would never sacrifice our children to an idol. No way. But when we bring up our children with the entertainment of the world, when we bring the world into our homes and into the lives of our children, then we are not bringing our children to Jesus, but we are hindering them instead. The greatest treasure that we can give to our children is to show them that Jesus is number one in our lives, because with Jesus comes eternal life. The greatest treasure that we can give to our children is to show them that if they put God first in their lives, then you are happy with them, and nothing else really matters very much. But if Jesus is not in the center of our lives, if our children cannot see that Jesus is in the center of our lives, then we put their salvation at risk, and so we do hinder them. If we love our children, if we love our children at all, this matter demands our serious attention. Truly, beloved congregation, Bringing our children to Jesus is the best thing that we can possibly do for them. That is our first point. In our second point, we will now see that the Lord receives children in his arms. When the disciples stood aside and let the children come to Jesus, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." But just as importantly, Jesus practiced what he preached. Jesus took them in his arms. Jesus put his hands on them. Jesus blessed them. And let's think about this for a moment, brothers and sisters. Think about this, especially dads. Because many dads are not even keen to hold their own babies. Many dads have said to me, "What's the point of holding a little baby? What can I do with it? I can't play with it. I can't have fun with it. Little babies are no fun." And so, if there are men who are not even interested in holding their own baby, which man wants to hold somebody else's baby? And so it strikes us in our text. In our text we find the Son of God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He came down from heaven. There he stands. And coming towards him are a bunch of little children. Some children with dirty hands, probably. Some children with snotty noses, possibly. A bunch of children who are all conceived and born in sin, by nature children of wrath. And Jesus takes the smaller ones in his arms. And Jesus puts a tender hand on the heads of the bigger children. Jesus blesses them all. What a glorious picture we have here. Almighty God embracing little children. You want to see that God loves your children? You want to believe that your children belong to him? In our text we can see his goodness and his care. Because just imagine, brothers and sisters, just imagine that you would have been living 2,000 years ago. Just imagine that you would have been there on that day. Just imagine that it would have been your children in the arms of the Lord. Wouldn't that have made an impression on you? And now, this picture of Jesus embracing our children, that is exactly what we see when any of our babies are baptized in the church. When our children are baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, if we would have lived 2,000 years ago, and if we would have been with Jesus in our text, then surely our babies who are now baptized, surely Jesus would have taken those babies in his arms. Jesus would have put his hands on the heads of those children. Jesus would have blessed them all. Today, this is not possible because Jesus is not on earth anymore. Instead, he has gone back to heaven. But still, he does the same thing for our children through baptism. Think about the form for baptism, which we read again this afternoon. We read what Jesus did with little children when he was on earth. We read that he put his hands on them and blessed them. And then in the next sentence we read, "Therefore, our children also need to be baptized." The point is, through baptism, God now embraces our children. Through baptism, God now promises our children his love and his care. Through baptism, God confirms to our children his forgiving grace and his continued presence. And so, we should not stop telling our children that on the day when they were baptized, the Lord Jesus took them in his arms, just like he did with the children in our text. Jesus blessed our children, just like he blessed the children in our text. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, the Lord says. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. That means the kingdom of heaven belongs to all people who are like Piper Adelle Admiral. The kingdom of heaven belongs to all people who are like very little children. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, what do you think? Do you think that you look like Piper? And now, you might ask, what does it mean to look like Piper? What does Piper have that adults and teenagers and school children do not have? Now, some people say that little children are very trusting, or very loving, or very caring, or very good at sharing. But let me ask any mum, is it really true? When our children have their own toys, and when other children come over to play, do our children always share nicely? Do our children always let visiting children play with their favourite truck or with their favourite doll? No, 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 I don't think so. Instead, children are conceived and born in sin, remember? And when babies are born, sometimes it happens that an older brother or an older sister is not jealous. Sometimes that happens, but not always. Children, like adults, are selfish, and especially babies. When babies are hungry, they don't ask themselves whether mum has had enough sleep. Instead, they scream. When babies are cold, they scream. The natural instinct of babies who want something is always just scream. Newborn babies are gifts from God, and they are beautifully and wonderfully made, and they are incredibly lovable, but they are not naturally good people. And so we come back to the question, why does Jesus say that everybody must receive the kingdom of God like a little baby? Well, we saw in the first point that Mark puts the story of Jesus and the children straight after the discussion about divorce. Mark shows children coming to Jesus and Jesus pushing this important discussion about divorce aside to teach us that children are important. But we also read the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector. But the tax collector stood at a distance and beat his breast, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when Luke wrote down that story about that Pharisee who thought that he was good, and about the tax collector who knew that he had nothing to offer God, when Luke wrote down that story, Luke remembered the story of Jesus and the children. Luke combined the Pharisee who thought that he was good with the disciples who thought that Jesus should not be disturbed during a serious discussion. And Luke also combined the tax collector with those babies, not because this tax collector and these babies are so innocent, not because they are so nice, but because they are helpless and because they can do nothing by themselves. The tax collector understood that he had nothing at all to offer God, and so he depended totally on God's mercy. And according to the theology of Jesus, in fact, according to the theology of the whole Bible, babies are not innocent, but babies are helpless. What can babies do? Lie in their beds, cry for food, cry for a cuddle, cry to have the diapers changed. Babies are not innocent, and there is no such thing as childlike faith. But in our text, Jesus says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And then you cannot be like a Pharisee, proud of your own achievements. And you cannot be like the disciples either, who think that their high-level discussions make them important. But we must be born again. We must be like babies who are helpless and hopeless in ourselves. Just like babies need the mum to do everything for them, we need God to do everything for us. This is the reason why Jesus is angry in our text. Because Jesus says, what is the church all about, anyways? The church is not about important people making profound statements, about important people impressing everybody else with their great achievements and their great learning. Church is not about how much we do and about how good we are. Jesus compared himself to a doctor whose task is healing. And Jesus gave all his attention to those who were at the bottom of the ladder, to those who were struggling, to those who were failing, to those who were in need of help. But in our text, the disciples still have not gotten the message. They still think in worldly terms about what is impressive and grand, and little children are at the bottom of the list. But Jesus says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. That means to bring our children to Christ and to teach our children the glorious gospel. That must be a high priority in all of our lives. And this is one reason, by the way, why we should all support our Christian school. And we may not hinder our children from coming to Jesus by bringing worldly distractions into our homes and into the lives of our children. In our second point, we saw that the glorious picture of the Lord Jesus with babies on his arms and with his hands on the heads of other children, blessing them, that picture stands behind every baptism. So, in this evil and unhappy world, we know ourselves to be safe in the embrace of Jesus. And finally, when the Lord says, receive the kingdom of God like a little child, the Lord does not mean Christians have to be sweet like children, or Christians have to be believing like children. Not at all. Instead, just like our little babies cannot do anything by themselves, just like our little babies are helpless and they depend totally on their parents, Christians are helpless. Christians depend totally on our Heavenly Father. Daily conversion for children, for teenagers, for adults. Daily conversion means to confess before God that we can do no more for our salvation than little babies can do for themselves. And so, it is Christian to pray, Father in heaven, watch over our children. Watch also over our very little children. Provide for them. Protect them. Because they need your care. And give to us all that same care. Because there is not one of us who can do more to save himself than our little babies can. But thank God, we don't need to do anything either, Father. Instead, your Son Jesus Christ has done it all for us. So, Father, please give us faith in him. Amen.